Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 222. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Senior Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thank you, Rob.
How are you doing on this fine Thursday, October 26th? Yes.
Yeah, I'm doing good. The news is back for the first time in a little bit, which means I'm busy, and that's good.
Yeah, we've got 0 days, we've got breaches, plenty to cover these days. Speaking of breaches, we are covering a fairly big one. We are discussing this week the recently disclosed Okta breach. Okta, big identity and access management vendor, Friday afternoon, Friday news drop. Disclosed that they had been breached, that a threat actor had obtained a set of credentials, had used that to get into the vendor's customer support system, had used that access to collect some data, some HAR files, and had used that data to try to access information and try to gain access to several Okta customers. And some of those customers went public and were not happy, nor should they be, I guess. Two that immediately came to light or disclosed that they had incidents connected to this breach were BeyondTrust and Cloudflare. So two fellow security. I mean, Cloudflare is CDN, but they're security vendors that were impacted by this. These guys were not happy. And it took a turn potentially for the worse. Not long after that, Alex, another organization, 1Password, well-known password manager, came out and disclosed that they too were impacted. I don't want to say victimized. I don't want to say breached because they really weren't. In the case of 1Password, the threat actor, I guess, logged in or gained access to the 1Password's Okta tenant. And they tried committing some actions, including getting a list of, I guess, of all the Okta administrators within 1Password. Tried to do some other things, but I guess were not successful. And so 1Password was able to terminate that activity and prevent any compromise or any issues with sensitive data or customer-facing data, employee-facing data. So all good. Mm-hmm. But here's where it gets interesting, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
In 1Password's security incident report, which is pretty detailed and pretty lengthy, and a lot of folks have applauded the level of detail that they provided here. It's interesting. They said that the incident was, shared similarities with a previous known campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like that campaign is one that you wrote about not too long ago with Okta. It's been quite a run with Okta.
And which one is that?
Some very well-known casino attacks, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened there? We've talked about it, obviously, numerous times, but let's recap for the listeners.
So what is definitely in the top five biggest cyber attack related things for the year. back in September, maybe slightly earlier in the case of Caesars. MGM and Caesars both got hacked in social engineering attacks. A lot of MGM resorts, particularly in the Las Vegas area, were pretty heavily compromised from an amenities perspective. You know, a lot of hand pays from slot machines, even for low payouts, people not getting into hotel rooms, allegedly. Basically, it sort of brought their sort of cyber infrastructure to its knees. Yeah. And Caesars,
their whole network, really. But yeah.
Yep. But it was seen most acutely in Vegas, because it's MGM Resorts is primarily a gaming company. Caesars was also hit by a social engineering campaign. We do know that they paid, or we like have 99.999999% understanding that they paid some amount of millions of dollars. They had maybe a little bit of disruption, but not a ton. But the big story here was that from just a couple, you almost want to say little social engineering attacks, from a couple little social engineering attacks, Vegas, the Las Vegas experience was heavily affected for the course of maybe a week and a half. And that was, it was a strange time to be covering cybersecurity news. But anyways, the part that's relevant here is that Okta had previously said that four victims had recently been hit by social engineering attacks as part of a larger sort of campaign. This was prior to the casino stuff happening, I believe, slightly. It was like maybe by a few days, and it was seen as a distinct thing at first. But as it later came out, Okta and Caesars and MGM were both customers of Okta, and in fact, I believe it was MGM, because their attack occurred later, that they became the fifth that had recently been compromised in the social engineering campaign. And that was sort of where things kind of left off with that story, at least in the macro sense.
Yes. And it's interesting because, yeah, you're right. It was August 31st. And I believe they said Okta in that blog post disclosing the social engineering campaign had said that the activity they tracked, I think it was between July 29th and August 19th. Mm-hmm. And in that post, they said, in recent weeks, multiple U.S.-based Okta customers have reported a consistent pattern of social engineering attacks against their IT service desk personnel, in which the caller's strategy was to convince service desk personnel to reset all multi-factor authentication MFA factors enrolled by highly privileged users. Now, remember at the time, I think we probably discussed this on the pod that we did, or one of the pods that we did on this, was how did they convince someone within the IT service department at these organizations to do what they did, to reset the MFA factors? That seems like such a huge thing to do, and so crazy to just sort of, I don't know, take a phone call and take the person's word for it. The bigger factor is that, you know, pun intended, I guess, was that they were able to bypass MFA. They were able to get around MFA, and with a simple social engineering attack or call. And it just surprised me at the time that they were able to do that, that these organizations, presumably big organizations, and now we know that they were big, they were Caesars and MGM, two of the five, two
companies. About as big as you get.
About as big as you get. And I think we've even said this you know, again, on previous pods, but two organizations, two companies, major companies in an industry, especially in Vegas, that takes security, both physical and cyber, very seriously. So how did they sort of fall victim to this? Obviously, we don't know the particulars because we have not gotten the details from either MGM or Caesars. But if these incidents are to be, are connected, you know, there's not just similarities, but they are indeed of the same campaign, the same threat actor, Scattered Spider, whoever, then it makes a lot more sense. Like if the threat actors were able to get into Okta and they got those HAR files with that data, with the session cookies and the information contained about, you know, but about customer support, and you use that data to present yourself as a legitimate support person, IT service person, and contacted, you know, Caesars or MGM and said, look, I've got a valid session and I've got all this data. I am who I say I claim to be. Well, then it's a lot more, I guess, understandable that they fell victim to that social engineering attack. Again, we don't know that that's what happened. But if 1Password is invoking that campaign, and it is that campaign, because they use specific language about, you know, how the threat actors use a second IDP, a second identity provider, to connect to the Okta tenant to try to, like, basically gain even more access and more capabilities over the organization. That same thing happened in the cases with Caesars and MGM. That scenario was specifically outlined in that Okta August 31st post. I think I have the date right, August 31st, whatever it was. Like you said, it was a few days before we started learning about the casino hacks, about a week or whatever. And at the time, Okta said, you know, that's unusual. And this is, you know, I don't remember if they called it novel or unique, but sort of ways to move laterally once they compromise or got access to the tenant. So we know that that's the campaign that 1Password is referring to. So, you know, we don't want to recklessly speculate. But Alex,
mm-hmm.
if this Okta breach,
yes,
is in any way connected to those attacks, what do you think it means for Okta, and what is Okta looking at?
I think Okta's looking at trouble.
Yeah.
I think Okta's looking at trouble. I think that the fact that they didn't detect the attack themselves already is kind of trouble, given that they're an access vendor.
That's a great point. I should have noted that earlier, but yes, yeah. It was Beyond Trust, I believe, that was first to report to them.
Yes, I believe you are correct. Beyond Trust. Yep, you're right. It detected and remediated the attack with no effect on customers. I think that was for itself. But anyways, it makes me think a lot about Okta over the past couple years, because I feel like we've seen their name pop up in the edges of some attacks, not necessarily that they themselves have been compromised, but well, in one case, I guess, but also not in the way where someone gets hit and they're like, we engaged Mandiant. It's not that right. type of thing either.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, it makes me think of the, when Lapsus, who's sort of the big threat actor of last year, or at least one of them, Okta was sort of one of their victims. But the thing was, Lapsus didn't have very destructive cyber attacks, and they ended up just stealing source code in a lot of cases. I forget what happened with Okta, but like, that sort of came and went for them. And then you had the MGM Caesar stuff, sort of not not connected to Okta, but Okta being a character there. And I feel like over the last few years, as I said, I've just seen Okta pop up in these places from here and there. And now that there's this situation, I won't conspiracy theorize. I won't say, oh, maybe this company's not all that good, because I have no idea what I'm talking about. But seeing this happen now does make me think about the stuff that happened over the last year, two, 3 years. And it makes me wonder, like, is it the case of, you know, security's hard, people get hit by breaches all the time, or is it a case of, well, maybe there are troubles at Okta that we can't see? And I have no idea, but I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Okta is one of the biggest identity and access management companies out there. You know, they're one of the biggest for a reason. Mm-hmm. They've traditionally done it well. The thing that's noteworthy here, just going back to the Lapsus attack, you're right. I mean, you're going to have attacks that where an identity provider, an IAM company, is going to be on the fringes or involved in some way, just because of the sheer attention that credentials and access gets from threat actors these days. I mean, the threat actors, like, I'm trying to remember, I think it was CrowdStrike, it was their global threat report where they talked about the number of, you know, just the incredible number of compromised credentials and sort of identity-based attacks that have happened over the last year, and how much it's risen, and just, you know, the bad guys knowing that's sort of the path of least resistance. And you say, you know, I said, you know, in interviews with folks, including CrowdStrike, and geez, shouldn't we be better at this? And it's like, you know, we're still not quite there. And I, you know, this isn't to say that Okta's technology or what they're doing is not up to snuff. I think they have good technology, but obviously there's the threat actors are finding ways around it. I mean, regardless of what happened in the cases with MGM and Caesars, whether or not those breaches, those attacks, those incredibly expensive attacks are in any way connected to the Okta breach, the fact is the threat actors still got around the protections that were in place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still found a way to either they gamed the employees at those organizations through pure social engineering, or they found an advantage somewhere, either with, you know, maybe those HAR files, maybe there was other data, who knows. And that bolstered their social engineering attack. It was successful. So there's still ways around bypassing this stuff. So you're right. Like, you know, not only is there a huge threat landscape out there, and there's a tremendous amount of attention from threat actors, there's also, you know, the stuff isn't foolproof. You know, it's just not. It's anytime you have credentials, username, password, SMS codes, they can be compromised. They can be intercepted. They can be guessed. They can be, you know, just pick your poison. I think the thing that's interesting about the situation with Okta, if you take it in sort of, I guess, big picture totality here. So last year, the Lapsus breach, a lot of organizations have been hit by Lapsus. And I think in that case, if memory serves, the bad guys got in through, the Lapsus threat actor got in through compromising, I believe, initially a third party support individual IT service desk person that was or customer service desk person that was working for a third party on behalf of Okta, and that's how they got in. You know, all things considered, I mean, you know, I don't think that was, I mean, it was not a good look for Okta, but, you know, considering the number of organizations that had been breached by Lapsus and the effects of those breaches, I didn't think it was like a massive deal for Okta. I don't know if you agree or disagree on that.
I think you're touching on something larger that I'm sort of thinking about with this case. So sometimes we have these cyber attacks happen and we care about them a lot and we're like, oh, this is bad news for them. But then like maybe half the time they go away and right. half the time they do seem to be really bad. And then inside baseball, when we reach out a few months later, we get a new PR company that's good at dealing with crisis situations.
Yeah. Yep.
And part of me wonders, like, I think this is kind of a borderline case, or I sort of think this is a borderline case of if this escalates further, I do think there's a chance that in 2 or 3 months we start seeing a different PR company for a while. But I also wonder if it doesn't escalate, do you think this story just kind of goes away? Or, as a third option, could this all signify some trend that even if this isn't the attack or campaign, maybe the next one inevitably will be the giant one? I guess, how are you thinking about the scope of this outside of our purview and in real life, air quotes?
Well, so... yeah, this is kind of the direction I was going in. I personally think this is bad for Okta as it stands right now. If we're not connecting the dots with the previous breaches, with Caesar's breach and MGM, those attacks, those again, hugely expensive, disruptive attacks. If there's really no connection there, if there's nothing involved with this most recent incident at Okta, the HAR files, the customer support breach, if there's nothing involved with that, I still think it's bad because you had Cloudflare coming out and being like, breached yet again, you know, they were not happy. And our colleague, Ariel Waldman, security news writer at TechTarget Security, she spoke with the CTO at Beyond Trust, and he wasn't happy either. And he was, if I may characterize the conversation that I did not take part in, it seemed like he was sympathetic to what had happened, but also a little frustrated that it took as long as it did for them to really convince Okta that their incident, that Beyond Trust's incident that they detected was stemmed from an Okta breach. That took them a long time. And he, you know, hey, he understood. Okta had its user conference earlier this month, and they were very busy, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, number one, they didn't detect the activity. It was reported to them by a customer, and it took that customer like a week for them to really sort of connect with Okta and like really sit down with them over a Zoom call and be like, this happened. And then it took like another week for them to have a second customer, Cloudflare, come up and say, hey, this also happened to us. And then they disclose, and it's on a Friday. And, you know, I get it. There's a lot going on and you don't want to go off half-cocked. You don't want to start sharing a lot of details and information about a breach and make sweeping generalizations if you're not totally sure about what's going on. But like that disclosure on Friday, it's pretty thin. There's not a lot there. It just says stolen credential. Mm-hmm. Well, how, whose, when, where? There's no timeline there. We're getting all of the timeline about how this unfolded from the customers, from Beyond Trust, from Cloudflare, and from 1Password. And 1Password, in their report, they're detailing activity that I think first started in late September. So the timeline keeps getting pushed back. First it was, you know, early October, and now it's late September. And I mean, so who knows how long stuff like this was going on? Who knows how many other organizations may have been affected? So I think it's bad for them, not just because of the response and how this unfolded, but also, they're going to be graded on a curve. That's just a fact. You're an identity and access management vendor. You're a security vendor. Anytime a security vendor gets breached, and it's them being breached directly, it's not anyone else's fault. You know, it's not, you can't really pin it on a third party. You can't pin it on a cloud provider or a database provider that got breached and got a hold of your data. They got breached. We don't know whose credential it was or what account or how. They got breached and this happened. And there's an expectation, I think, amongst enterprise users and customers out there that, like, that they're going to be better. And maybe that's unfair, but I think that's the reality. You're an identity and access management vendor. You should know how to protect credentials. You're in the business of protecting credentials, protecting accounts, establishing identity, and not letting things like that happen. And it's a high bar. I'm not saying it's not a high bar, but that's the bar that they've set for themselves. So regardless of where this goes, I think, I mean, you may have seen this. I caught it very briefly, but I think their stock price did, you know, it's one of the few times that an organization is breached and like there's a significant stock, you know, penalty, I guess. So they got, they took a hit. And I think,
oh, quite a bit. It's, yeah. They were at 85 on October 20th, $85 USD per share. And now they're at 68.46 as of this moment recording.
That's a hit. I mean, so I think that those two elements, the fact that they're a security vendor, they're an identity provider, and they also, this does not look like it was handled the right way. I think those things matter. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, if these things are connected, if this Okta breach in any way is connected, if the Okta, you know, HAR files or any of this information that could have been obtained in that breach was used in the attacks on MGM and Caesars, there's going to be some ridiculous lawsuits, some intense legal action.
Yes. And in fact, I may even take back what I said about this not having a large impact, because I'm in the news tab of Google under Okta stock.
Yeah.
And I just want to read a couple headlines here. This is from CNBC. Okta cybersecurity breach wipes out more than $2 billion in market cap. Oof. And then one of the harshest ones I saw here was Market Watch. Okta's stock extends meltdown as recent breach could mean more pain ahead, which is there's some harsh wording here that makes me think maybe this is going to be something that sticks around at least our heads for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly think it's recoverable. I think they can bounce back.
This isn't SolarWinds. This isn't decimate a company.
Yeah, but even SolarWinds, like, we forget with SolarWinds. I mean, yeah, that was bad, but it was like nation state level bad, where these guys, you know, who the Russian nation state group that got in there and did that. I mean, it was described as pretty high level, very skilled, stuff they had never seen before, et cetera, et cetera. And we still don't know how they got in initially. But the way that they were able to do things was just really, you know, impressive from, I guess, an impartial perspective. So yeah, SolarWinds gets dinged for it, but I don't think a lot of people at this point blame them for what happened, if that makes sense.
No, but what I'll say is, just thinking about the money aspect, I looked up SolarWinds stock for comparison.
Yes.
And in December 11th, 2020, right as this was sort of starting, their stock was at $24.83 a share. And now, 5 years later, it has continued to dip, and it is $9.12 as of today. So yeah. I guess that's the part I'm concerned about. Not that I have any skin in the game. I don't buy any security stocks, but but you know what I'm saying is that, yeah, I'm like, I think this is bad for Okta as long as it doesn't escalate further. but I do, if it did escalate further, you start to worry about these kinds of situations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think at this point, if Okta comes out and says, you know, sometime, I don't know, between now and early next week, hopefully not again on a Friday, but comes out with a more sort of detailed accounting of what they know and what happened, and just tries to do the best it can to step up, take accountability, be transparent, apologize, whatever, but provide as much information out there about what happened as possible. I think they can start the long road to recovery, but I still, in the back of my mind, I just keep going back to those, you know, those social engineering attacks, phishing calls. Like, how the heck were they able to trick organizations into resetting MFA for something that sensitive, something that pivotal? And like I said, if they had any assistance from, you know, those HAR files that were contained in the customer support system or any other data, like I said, any other data that could have been taken, session cookies, whatever, from those, from that customer support system, then, you know, this gets ratcheted up, not just a level, but several levels, in my opinion. So,
and well, it's also a little muddy too, because you do blame the organization that gets hit by a social engineering attack because they didn't train their folks enough, yada, yada, sure, yada. But due to the nature of a social engineering attack, or at least as I understand them, thankfully I've never been involved in one, it's not an organization that gets compromised, it's a person, right? Yeah. It's a man or woman working in IT who... or somewhere else who gets tricked into giving up a VPN password here or some other login there, and then that leads to a $15 million, $30 million ransom payment or slot machines shut down and SEC right. filings. And so it is the fault of an access vendor to some extent, whose job it is to make sure this doesn't happen. And it is the fault of the multi-billion dollar company that has this happen to them. But at the same time, you can't help but, I don't know, as someone who could know more about how this stuff works, I can't help but feel a little bit of sympathy for the way this stuff goes down too.
Sure. And I think that's important. I will also note that I think when these attacks, when the casino attacks first started emerging, or I take that back, I think it was right after the initial blog post from Okta about those four then unnamed customers and the social engineering attacks. I feel like, I know I talked with some people, but I feel like there was a lot of folks, InfoSec Twitter, Mastodon, places like that, that were just saying, you know, hey, your guys are going to get phished, your guys are going to get socially engineered. You've got to have the policies in place and the guardrails in place to make sure that when that happens, that their accounts can't be used to do something like reset MFA for all highly privileged users.
Mm-hmm.
So basically a long way of saying that put some responsibility, a lot of responsibility on the organizations for allowing one compromised set of credentials, one account to like do that much damage. But to your point, I think you're right. I mean, I think like, security can use more sympathy in general. So I think it's important to keep in mind, like, that people fall victim to this stuff all the time, and that, you know, there's responsibility across the board in a lot of these cases. But I am interested to see, like, you know, bringing this back to the initial disclosure here from Okta about the breach. I'm really interested to hear about, you know, this stolen the set of stolen credentials. Who was it? How do they think it happened? How did they not have the policies in place or the infrastructure in place or the protections in place to prevent or at least detect that something like that had happened and that those credentials were being abused? I think that's going to be a big discussion, a big point, big sticking point in this whole thing. So we shall see. Hopefully, again, no Friday news drops. Just putting that out there into the universe.
Yeah.
But Alex, I appreciate you discussing this extensive and thorny and ongoing issue regarding Okta with me. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Tech Target Security and the Risk and Repeat podcast. I'm Rob Wright, and we'll see you next time.